are listening to The Truth. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board right here on Let's Face the Issues as we face the issues each and every day. We're talking about a subject today, an issue today. Will the church survive? I know we're talking about political survival. We're talking about political races. We're talking about the candidates. We're talking about Islamic jihadists and their move to take over America. We're talking about the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats' move to burn America down and rule over the ashes. But in all of that, and we'll talk about it, will the church survive? Let me remind you, the Lord Jesus says, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Now, that does not mean that we'll not be persecuted, prosecuted, and punished because of our faith. That does not mean that we'll not be hated. Jesus said that, John 15:18-20. And if we believe the scripture, and we should, if we believe the Lord Jesus Christ and his words, and we ought to, then we know what we're faced with. But there should be, even in the midst of all of the gloominess, in all of the darkness, in all of the devastation, in all of the cry of where we're going as a nation, and it's all true. The Bible says very clearly in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, deadly. And we're at the very midst of what we see that the scripture says will take place. But I want us to understand through it all, the Lord Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He's still in control. He is still Lord of lords and King of kings. And there's coming a day, according to the scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I want us to start with that footnote of hope and encouragement as we challenge us today to be found faithful in carrying out our civic responsibilities as citizens in America. By the way, before I get into the monologue, let me remind you, this Sunday, from the pulpit at First Conservative Baptist Church, this Sunday, I'll be preaching a message entitled, Israel, the Focus of the World. Israel, the Focus of the World. Why is it Israel is the focus of the world? A little postage stamp in geographical terms. Why is it that right at this very moment, on a global basis, some newspaper, some news article, some newsreel, television, internet, or otherwise, will be talking about Israel? Benjamin Netanyahu, talking about Lebanon, talking about Hamas and Gaza. All of the Israelis in the focus. Well, Israel is being demeaned, and the approach even in our Congress today, where there's about half or better that's now making the decision that we're not going to support, not going to stand with Israel. What happens to a nation that turns its back on Israel? What happens to a nation that spits in the face and tries to come against the apple of God's eye? Why is it that Israel is the focus of the world? 10:45 Sunday morning, First Conservative Baptist Church right here on Old St. Augustine Road. Looking forward to having you as our special guest. And lest I forget it, let me remind you, Thursday, just a couple of days from now, we'll be interviewing the Speaker of the House, the Florida House, Paul Renner. Paul is one of the candidates running for governor in the state of Florida. We'll have a wonderful, lively interview with Paul. I want to interview you now. I want to introduce you to that and remind you of that now and invite you to invite others to tune in on Thursday and ask your questions, join in the dialogue and the discussion. I believe we'll be interviewing a viable candidate, a candidate that I believe has answers that multitudes of the others. In fact, there's five running in the race for a governor in the state of Florida. And I believe we need to recognize who they are. I have invited some to be interviewed. One, I'll not call his name, set the interview through his handler, and then all of a sudden decided he didn't want to be interviewed. I understood when I looked at his resume, his biographical information, I understood why he did not want to be interviewed. That's just my opinion. But let me remind you of those two things. Sunday, 10:45, First Conservative Baptist Church, the message that I believe is timely when we look at the subject, Israel, the focus of the world. And then this Thursday on this broadcast, we'll be interviewing the Speaker of the House, Paul Renner, one of the candidates for governorship of the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said this, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Now listen, let me do a little footnote on that. The Bible does not say in John 17 that the Bible contains the truth. Thy word, the Word of God, is truth. It's the centrality, the first, final, and foremost of all that would be considered truth. Jesus Christ is truth, so it's the truth book as we look at the Bible. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, we find the truth of God. God is unchangeable. He is immutable. And as such, what he said that he has done in the past and he's doing in the present, he shall do in the future. So we can depend on the Word of God. It is a truth book. However, we have those today, just as was stated by George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. Orwell's book entitled The 1984, it was a dystopian novelist. What he projected would be in 1984. Listen, multitudes of what he said was correct, just was off timing. Some of the things he said would happen by 1984, just not coming about. But he said, and I quote, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it." We're finding that to be factual. In fact, one of the latest surveys on the millennials in America, headline says, "Most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth." Now, in their brilliance, and I'm not trying to demean all millennials, but multitudes of them have credentials from the prestigious universities that's been brainwashed to believe that America's bad, hate America, hate God, hate Christ, hate the church, hate the Constitution, hate the Declaration, et cetera, and they're so volatile, they say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, one of the statements they make, and I'll quote it, 55% of the American young millennials say each person determines their own version of truth. I go back to a profound statement made by the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Headline, DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a need today for us to get back to the fundamentals of truth. There's no such thing as half-truth. Half-truth is a whole lie. We have a lot of folks today that are embracing whole lies. I go back to the 15th century theologian, church reformer, Jan Hus. By the way, for those that perhaps have not heard, Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, there's some theological doctrinal things that he believes that I don't. But he did make some profound statements about truth. In fact, he says this, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge. By the way, when Jan Hus was being burned at the stake, his last words, he screamed out, "Truth shall prevail." And that's exactly what we see today. Regardless of what the naysayers pronounce, regardless of what the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats on the left may say, regardless of what some of the lost judges may render an opinion on, truth still shall prevail. So I challenge you each and every day for us to love the truth, seek it, love it, listen to it, learn it, live it, and defend it. Charlie Kirk was defending the truth when he was assassinated. We need to defend the truth regardless. And as Jan Hus said in that famous statement, defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power tool dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has the full package of equipment such as Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full brand of tools, Honda and Echo tools. They carry the full brand and lineup of the hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's located at the intersection of the 295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. But listen, there's a benchmark, an identifier on the campus of Tools for Time. There stands a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24-7. Find that flag at the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, for those that are holding online, hold for a few moments. I'll wrap up a brief monologue. Then we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. We're asking the question, will the church survive? Will the church survive? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I said on the broadcast just recently that the survival of the Constitutional Republic known as America is in the hands of Christians, conservatives, and patriots. In 3 weeks, there will be a primary vote. In 3 months, there will be the midterm elections. We'll have those being elected across the nation, those for local, state, and national positions. And right now, I am concerned about the number of Christians that will vote. You've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, I'm going to repeat it. In 2016, 40 million Christians did not vote. In 2020, 32 million Christians did not vote. Now, I've not read the report by George Barner as to the number of Christians that did not vote in the 2024 election. I'm so thankful that I believe multitudes more voted, but may I say to you that we need to recognize that there's a need to vote. That's our responsibility. According to the website of President Trump, there's 250,000 non-citizens. 250,000 non-citizens found on the voter rolls in states across America. Multitudes, ladies and gentlemen, are on the voters' rolls that have been there. There are Democrats that are literally, physically, no longer alive, but they're on the voter rolls, and I presume vote each and every election season. We need to understand what is taking place in America. And when I say that, President Trump has declassified documents that multitudes say are not true, multitudes reject and do not want to listen to. But listen, he talked about the declassified documents. Let me just read you a brief portion of this. What Trump's newly declassified documents do and what they say. President Donald Trump in his primetime speech on Thursday is alleging vulnerabilities exist in America's election system. Now listen, I like the way these writers say alleging. I understand why they're saying that. They want to have a way of out. They want to have a disclaimer if it comes down to it. But there he goes to say vulnerabilities exist in the American election system using a large trove of newly declassified documents as evidence to suggest future elections could be at risk of foreign interference, particularly from China. among those points that President Trump points out, there are major vulnerabilities of U.S. voting machines. Let me just pause for a moment. I touched on this yesterday. I believe it deserves repeating. The same voting machines that put Maduro in office in Venezuela, with supposedly 91% of the people voting for him, are the same voting machines that supposedly gave 81 million votes to out-of-pen sleepy Joe Biden that claimed he won the election. If you believe that, then I'm going to take the what's called the Buckman Bridge here in our city, dismantle it, and reassemble it in your backyard free of charge. Trump says that these voting machines were at fault. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it's been found that in those machines, according to that which I've read, that the Chinese had a back door of opening, getting into it, modifying, changing the votes. And then there were major suits from the company that put those machines out, along with the software, and multitudes of people settled the suits with mega dollars. Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, had a $1 billion suit against him just a week ago, 2 weeks ago. The company that had owned the voting machines that had filed suit against him dropped the suit. Why? I think it's because they knew what Trump had and about to drop in the general public's lap, declassification of the information about the vote. But this article goes on. China has obtained voter data on millions of Americans. Systematic voter registration fraud by Democrats in Michigan. Far more non-citizens on voter rolls than ever known before, according to this article. I'm just reading you the brief headlines on a mega article in relationship to that. But the point being, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize where we're headed. And the bottom line, I'll cut through the chase. We'll get back, go through the minutiae step by step. But if these things take place, listen, if the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats win in November, if the Islamic jihadists win in November, you can kiss the church goodbye. Christianity will be non-accepted in America at that time. Right now we're finding more and more Christian persecution in America that's not recognized. Christian persecution around. I'm looking at the headline, American Christianity is under assault by discrimination and decline and a moral cultural shift. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what is taking place today and take a stand, because the question is, will the church survive? I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. You are dead on point. It is just ridiculous. And Daniel and also in Revelation, I do not see America, because these young people, that, like you said, were trained. I think, what's it called? Name is on the tip of my tongue. Black Lives Matter. Those females, they said they were trained in Marxism.
Oh, yes, all three of the key leaders in the Black Lives Matter bragged about the fact they were, quote, their terms, not mine, highly trained Marxists. And that's exactly what we see permeating today's society. And when you see the entire Democratic Party, when you see the entire group in that title, Democrat, when you look at that and understand that right at this, listen, Kenneth, right at this very moment, the Democrats are in absolute a frightened position. In fact, some of their talking heads are coming out saying this socialist, Marxist, communist element is not what we're doing. We're not for destroying America. We're not for tearing down the Constitution. We're not for et cetera, et cetera. And they're coming out of the woodworks with the leadership. Van Jones, in fact, just this morning on the national news, said that that was not what he said. I'm a progressive, but I'm not a socialist or a Marxist. And some of them in the Democratic Party are waking up and seeing that the Democratic Party is not the D. James Kennedy Party of the 60s. It is absolutely a socialist, communist, Marxist party today that's now wanting to divest any interest, camaraderie with Israel, and it's going to cause a major problem, I believe, because as long as we bless Israel, God blesses America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalms 33:12 tells us, and that's where I stand on it. Kenneth, it deserves our prayer, it deserves our recognition, and most of all at this point, it deserves every Christian to hear me that we need to vote, and we need to vet the candidate first, and don't touch a candidate. until he's gone through a litany of questions, how he stands on Islam, what does he say about Islamic jihadists, what does he say about the socialist Marxist communists that's coming in to take over, and do we stand with Israel? Those are questions that every candidate needs to be vetted clearly on. But Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Marshall is on the line. Marshall, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Thank you for taking my call, Doc. The question in play is, will the church survive? I believe that's correct.
Correct.
And I know you're going to answer that before the end. So I'm going to ask you a question before you address that, but I'm going to have to set up the question. Now, here it is. We're having a bunch of flooding out west, particularly my old stomping ground around Uvalde, Texas, where whole families have been swept away. But let's picture a dam. Let's say the Grand Coulee Dam or the Hoover Dam, a massive structure with hundreds of acre feet of water behind it, okay? And imagine if that dam failed, what would happen downstream? That happens occasionally, and it's a horrible, horrible nightmare. Mm-hmm. Now, that's it. Let me build a picture. I'm going to give you five names, and we're going to pretend these five names are people behind this giant dam. Let's start with Randy Weingarten, female head of the American Federation of Teachers Union, very despicable woman, married to a female rabbi. And then let's take Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, famously known as AOC. Let's take Ilhan Omar, the horrible beast from Somalia. Then the fourth one would be Kathy Hochul, governor of New York. And last but not least, let's put up there Mayor Mad Dummy of New York. There's five people that represent water behind this dam that is about to burst because it's raining cats and dogs in this imaginary scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, if that dam is beginning to break, then you can imagine what's going to happen downstream. Now, let's go back to your question, and then I'm going to finish and let you answer my question for you. Will the church survive? Well, what, about 10% of Christians believe in the rapture. Is that correct?
That's correct.
It is a reality. It's going to happen, and only 10% of the people really are going to be looking for it. So is this true? Here's my question for Doc this morning. If the rapture is real, and the rapture is to take the church out of the earth for a period of time, is it not true that a moment right after the rapture, ain't going to be no church here in the world, the only people left will be the Jews as God's representative of the Creator? Am I right or wrong on that?
You're right and yet wrong. Here's where we are. After the rapture, the church takes place. The true church, the bride of Christ, every true believer, will be raptured out, suddenly ceased, disappeared from the earth. Church, as we know it today, the operation called the church, will still continue. Revelation chapter 17, we see the amalgamation of all of the churches, which the scripture calls the great whore and the mother of whores, the false, phony, pretend churches. And may I just be bold enough to say, those that believe that salvation is through the Catholic dogma with the 10 Hail Marys, etc. Those that believe that if you do not worship on the seventh day, Sabbatarians that reject the Sunday worship say that anybody that worships on Sunday, they've taken the mark of the beast, they're going to hell. Those that reject the lordship of Jesus Christ, those that say Jesus Christ is not God come in the flesh, those that say Jesus was Lucifer's brother, and as a result of Lucifer being angry because God chose Jesus to come to the earth, then Lucifer caused a war in heaven and left heaven with a third of the angels. I could go on and on and on with the aberrant false beliefs that's found in the overwhelming majority of what's called religious denominations today. Denominational dogma will send more people to hell than ever believed possible. It was Franklin Graham in March of 2023 and then restated in 2025 in Decision Magazine that the woke progressive Christianity that embraces LGBTQ and murder by way of abortion will send more people to hell than Satan dreamed possible. So that answers, I believe, very succinctly, and yet with the ramification of the loose ends tied up. But the true church will not exist, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Doc, let me sharpen the pencil just a minute. The first moment after the rapture, will there be any saved people left on the church, left
none.
On the earth?
None.
Okay,
none.
That's the point. There will be no saved people. That's the church. I understand what you just said.
Correct.
But there will be no saved people on the earth. The only ones left to represent Father God will be, by his plan, as I understand it, the Jewish people that will, according to Zechariah 12, weep for him whom they have rejected.
Zechariah 12, verse 7, 8, and 9.
There you go. Right. Weep for an only child. So the answer to the question is, yeah, well, the church will survive, but it's going to survive after it disappears in the rapture, and that's a great conundrum to
me.
That's
correct. That's correct. And what are the things that should be comforting to every listener, every believer, is that we'll have the privilege of serving with the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, what is called the millennial reign. But one of the things I need to add, a parenthetical footnote, yes, the Christians will be off the face of the earth, but during the course of the 7 years of tribulation, 144,000 virgin male Jewish evangelists will be preaching the everlasting gospel, and multitudes of Jews will get saved. And during that period of time, they will get saved. And if they get saved and they're saved, they refuse to take the mark in the hand of the head, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. If they refuse that, they can't buy, sell, trade, travel, and they will be left as vagabonds on the street, either martyred, or they will be left to die because they will not be accepted under the leadership of the lawless one that's called the Antichrist.
Well, God bless you. You always say it right anyway. Well, that was what I thought you would say.
Well,
in the end, it's all about the Jews, isn't it? When God
absolutely, and
them,
absolutely. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, and all of Israel shall be saved, and that all of Israel that shall be saved would be a minuscule percentage, maybe 2 to 5, 10% of the Jewish people, and that's the Jewish people that saved that you spoke of in Zechariah the 12th chapter, verses 7, 8, and 9. They will look at the whom they have slain and weep and wail as the loss of a firstborn child, and they will receive him and be entered into the millennium reign with the church age saints. It's a rejoicing picture as I see it. And as we recognize that, Marshall, it should challenge every Christian, every conservative, every patriot to recognize what God has given us as a constitutional republic, where we have the religious liberties, the freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms, et cetera, that if the socialist Marxist mundummies, as you call them, go into office and take control in America, all of that shall be lost. So it deserves our prayer.
When the dam burst, the Mondamis and the Hochuls and the others will be the ones here that are going to complete the destruction of America. We must stand up and fight it, whether we win or lose. We must fight back.
Absolutely. It deserves the battle. Marshall, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you for your speech, for your conversation, and for what you've added to the broadcast today. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. Will the church survive? Marshall and I just had a wonderful conversation about that. The bottom line is yes, but in the interim, what will happen to the church? What will happen to biblical Christianity? What's going to take place with evangelism? What will take place with the right to keep and bear arms? What will take place with the authorization based on the authority of the Word of God to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? There'll be no such thing as Christian radio, no such thing as Christian television, no such thing as Christian printing presses, no such thing as the Bible being promulgated throughout all of the nation. If we lose this battle, November the 3rd, if we lose the battle, the socialist, Marxist, communist, the Islamic jihadist will be in control, and our America that we know of today will be gone, totally dissipated, gone forever. Ladies and gentlemen, it deserves our prayer, deserves our attention, and it deserves our vote. Listen, it's voting time. From now until November the 3rd, we need to recognize the need to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to take the top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.